How are ya? Welcome to the Whole Home Podcast. I am Laura Letario here with Peyton Kester, and we are recording on St. Patty's Day. I don't really celebrate the day too much outside of corned beef and cabbage, but I use it as inspiration to have some fun with Peyton by sprinkling in a wee bit of Irish throughout today's episode. So, ready, Peyton, for games and silliness?
Yes.
Okay, good. To kick us off, do you know why you never iron a four-leaf clover?
I have no idea.
You wouldn't want to press your luck.
Oh,
I know. All right, so we're going to see how lucky you are today. Peyton, have you ever won a contest?
Yes.
What'd you win?
Well, I guess it wasn't a contest. It was I don't know. I feel like I have interesting luck with bingo.
Oh, nice.
I usually get bingo.
I believe you.
Yeah, so not a contest, but.
I feel lucky around you. Have you ever found cash on the road?
Yes.
Have you ever won the lottery?
No.
Chased by a dog. Have you ever been?
No.
Has a bird ever used your body as a poop target?
No.
No.
I would remember that.
Especially a Maymont.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Definitely my car, but.
What's your favorite rainbow color?
Maybe red.
Have you ever been to Ireland?
No.
How about an Irish pub?
No.
What is something green you like?
The grass and the vegetation, all of it.
What's something green you don't like?
Maybe Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those can be tough.
Yeah.
Do you have any St. Patrick's Day traditions?
No.
None?
No. We went to the Irish festival last year and we really loved that. Ooh. But nothing that we do yearly.
Where's that in town?
It's in Churchill.
Okay.
But they have like the bagpipes and the Irish dancers, like the girls who are learning how to do the dancing, I guess, and food and beer.
Yeah.
Fun.
That is fun. What do you call an Irish man with the case of the chicken pox?
I don't know.
A leprechaun.
Oh.
I know.
Should have known.
They're terrible. But now we're going to ask you your personal questions. Here's your 5-minute questions. I'm going to turn the timer and let's go for it. What is something in your life more challenging than you expected?
Cooking.
Oh.
Or meal prepping, preparing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll go for that. I feel like I'm constantly stressing out on that.
Lunch. Lunch is the hardest one for me.
Okay.
I'm going to say lunch. I never know what to make.
Is there something people typically don't know about you?
No. I think I'm an open book. Maybe that I did karate, but now everybody knows that.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Two musicians on your playlist.
I really like Mountjoy. So that's kind of my alternative music. And then I really like Citizen.
What is your exact favorite spot in your home?
Probably our living room.
What's the last thing you watched on TV?
I just watched a show a few weeks ago called Hannah. That's probably the last thing I watched.
Do you journal?
Twice a year.
On a specific day?
Nope. Just that's probably, I do not journal daily, but I do have journals with writing in them.
Yeah. You're like, hi, journal. It's
yeah,
me again.
It's me again.
Do you have any home edit projects?
I have a big one not attached to our home, but it's on our property, and we're turning this old garage into an Airbnb or like a studio apartment. So anything in our house is not happening right now because our efforts are there.
How long has that process been?
2 years. So long.
You're so close.
So close, yeah.
What book do you want more people to read?
A Typical Woman, Abigail Dodds.
Is there any human that changed the course of your life?
Noah.
What's your middle name?
Elizabeth.
Current podcast listen, if any.
I think this is the only one I listen to.
If you had 10 times your budget, what would you spend it on?
A farm. Oh. Maybe. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Nice. Is there anything people sometimes misunderstand about you?
I don't know what people misunderstand about me. Maybe the people at my job feel confused about my lifestyle. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's your go-to breakfast?
2 eggs.
If you could become an expert in something, what would it be?
Trees, like an arborer would be awesome.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What is the last skill you learned?
Well, Noah and I just put in a patio in our backyard, and that was quite the process.
Do you all have a tradition you observe in your household?
No, we're still working on that, but we do try to make funnel cakes on Christmas morning.
I love that.
Yeah, it's fun.
Do you have a favorite recent memory?
Probably the last day that I got to spend the whole day with my mom. It's just we don't get a lot of days like that, and it was just sweet. We didn't do anything interesting, but I looked forward to it.
Are you reading anything right now?
No. I'm probably reading a lot of bits of baby books here and there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
Maybe like, I'm tone deaf. I'm not a good singer. So I always just think it's humorous when I try to sing. Titanium. I don't know who sings it.
Okay.
But it's really funny.
If you're going to write a book, what would it be about?
I feel like it would have to be like a fictional book about some kids growing up and having some crazy adventure, but nothing particular.
I could be wrong, but I think you're the first person who said they would write a fictional book. That's interesting. I could be wrong, but from my memory.
They're just fun. Yeah. They're so fun.
Is there any book or resource that influenced you?
Maybe the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing too much.
Well, what is a place in the Bible that is encouraging to you?
I would say probably the book of Luke.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Jesus parts?
Yes. It was the first thing that I read, so I find when I return to it, my memory is very attached to it.
Wow.
Like I know it well.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That gets a bell. Ding.
Ding.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
All right. As we move into your garden section, let's sort of set the stage of where that garden is. So what neighborhood do you live in, and how long have you been there?
I live in the north side, three doors from Laura, and I've lived there for 4 years in June.
Who is in your household?
Right now, me and Noah and the baby in my womb.
How long have you been coming to Remnant? Who invited you and what is your community group?
I think 5 years. I think we were referred there probably by Robert Roland, who is the head pastor at Smyrna. And whose community group am I in? Is that the last one?
Mm-hmm.
We're in our own community group at our house. Yeah.
You and Noah.
Yeah.
The Kester group.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said there would be a bit of Irish sprinkle throughout the podcast. So here it is. I found an Irish saying for each subsection of this garden section.
Fun.
That kind of ties in. And the first one goes with planning. And the saying is, don't wait for the good times to come. Chase them down like a runaway leprechaun with a pot of gold. So in other words, take initiative. And of course, that has to start with the plan. So what are the desires and dreams you have?
Yeah, a lot of them, I feel like. One of them that we're so close to is just getting that Airbnb off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing incredibly interesting. We've just been working on it for a long time. And we're just excited to have people we know, people we don't know, and explore hospitality in a different way. Really exciting. No, and I just love to be around people, so we'll be very excited about that. I'm pregnant, so I feel like a lot of my planning is just getting ready for when the baby gets here. I'm kind of anticipating that my life as I know it now will be completely different. It'll just be... Obviously, there'll be threads of things that remain the same, but my day-to-day will be completely different. So we're getting ready for that. And with that will be me leaving my job and being home, which is familiar, but also I'll be preparing to spend more time in my home than I've ever spent in any home ever. Cause,
yeah, good point.
Yeah. So, you know, Noah was homeschooled, but I was not. So being home will just be a lot, will be a very different rhythm for me.
Why did you decide to step towards that right away?
I think because it wasn't always like that as an easy step. Like there were times where I was like, maybe I'll work a year and ease into it or be part-time or something like that. But the Lord has kind of filled our plate with other things that I'm like, wow, I cannot tend to all of this if I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And that would include, like, if we have this Airbnb running,
yeah.
I don't think I could be a good mom, run an Airbnb and an attentive wife and CG leader. That's new this year, too. And then Noah is also buying into his family business in August and then baby in September. So that is another role that we're planning for, because I'm sure that will look different for our family. But I'm really excited to learn what my role is in that, in supporting him and helping him and freeing him up to be fully present and attentive to his job and not have to worry about packing his lunch or
Yeah.
Stopping on the way home to pick something up, like just being able to support him in that. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know a lot of stay-at-home moms growing up?
No, none, I don't think. It's what all my friends are doing now. So I feel extremely well supported. And there's a lot of women close to me that have gone before me. So I can't say I know exactly what it's going to be like, but I have some really great friends to phone if,
yeah,
you know, I need some insight.
So what does motherhood look like to you?
You know, I'm just trying to go into it with open arms because I have no idea. Some days, if I'm being honest, I'm like, this might crush me a little bit. But Noah always reminds me, he's like, not me. It's not going to, you know, I'll be there for you. Just because I don't know. I think the rhythm is going to be so like a mixture of being kind of foreign as far as what I'm doing day to day, but also very natural as far as like stepping into something that fully aligns with the goals of our family.
Sure.
I have no idea what it will look like day to day.
Is it going fast or slow, do you think, to September?
I think it's going pretty fast. Yeah. But I'm not necessarily like nervous or anything like that. I just don't want to get any expectations that or ideas and that not be how it goes. I told Elena that I want to come over and watch her for a day because I was never a nanny or anything like that. I was like, so at least then the expectations could be based off of a real family and not off of like what I think it might be. So
yeah. So what are you looking forward to?
Well, we just found out we're having a girl, which I was so overwhelmed by. I was not expecting to have a girl and also not expecting to be so excited about that information. Yeah. And it's just been really sweet. So I'm just genuinely excited about all the things that come along with that. And I'm excited about catching every moment and being there. I'm just excited about being the mom.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How does like the Kester family strike you? Or do you already feel like that about you and Noah?
I feel like that about me and Noah. But the other day I came home and Noah was waiting for me at the front door and I was walking in and he was like, the girls are here. The girls are home. And I was like, ah. So that's sweet. You know, thinking of us as a larger unit has definitely been really exciting. And I'm very excited for all the holidays because, you know, it's usually just me and Noah.
So fun.
It is so fun.
So to this family business thing, was this like an old plan or a new one for y'all? The taking over
or
buying in, however you phrase it.
Yeah. I would say old and new.
Okay.
I would say it's always been in the fibers of how Noah's dad has taught and reared Noah and his sister be able to take over the business if that's what they want to do. So it has always been kind of on the table. And then I think for a season a few years ago, Noah was not interested. But now he is again. And so now it's happening in August.
Do you guys have like inspiration? I guess you said it is a family business, so maybe it's not something that's nerve-wracking, maybe, or like you said, you're easing into it kind of thing.
Yeah. He's going into it with his sister, and his dad's retiring, but his dad will live 2 minutes from the shop. So I think stress is low, but weight is growing, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, not necessarily for me, but in conversations with Noah, they have 42 employees that rely on work coming in so that they can provide for their family. And I think that's a big weight.
Yeah.
So I think that's becoming more real as Noah's dad takes more steps away and is transitioning out. But yeah.
So what ways do you foresee yourself helping?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Once again, it's just like an open arms type thing. Right now, Noah's mom is like unofficial vice president. So she does all of the new staff orientations just so she can, and this is just so intentional for her, just so she can know all of the staff by name and know their position. Mm-hmm. So when her husband comes home to talk about his day, she knows and is familiar. And she also like plans the holiday parties and they do a breakfast, you know, and so she sets up for those breakfasts and it's like 5 times a year or something like that. So she definitely has like a hospitable role in just being united with James and being around to support him, but also to make the family business feel like a family, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if my role will look like that immediately with having a baby at the exact same time.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm looking forward to the ways of stepping in that makes sense for me and know a nice rhythm, but definitely desiring to, however it comes out, I'm not sure, but I just want to know the business well. Okay. Like, I don't want it to sound like another language when they're talking about a project they're working on or a decision they're making.
Mm-hmm.
Just so I can be a decent backboard for Noah, sure. And an encourager, and yeah.
Yeah, something just that I love about what Ryan does is that he shares with me every day what's mm-hmm. going on, and I understand, and yeah, we always say like we're a team.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm not where he is or present or mm-hmm. making the decisions, but we know what's going on and we see it as like a family unit or endeavor, mm-hmm. everything we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, how I see myself as supporting and stuff like that.
Definitely.
So even similar to you, it's like the arts, everyone always asks me, so are you an artist or what do you mm-hmm. do? And I don't have to be, and you don't have to like be crawling under houses and connecting pipes yeah. and stuff like Noah or
yeah.
whatever he does. But I understand it and I love it and I care about it. And mm-hmm. yeah,
definitely. And yeah. I have all those things and I'm very excited to just fill that out a little bit because, I mean, it is a very technical job. So
mm-hmm.
but even like the business leading side of it, I think will be more of where Noah is pressing into. So I'm just excited. I don't really know, though. So
moving on to sewing. So here's my Irish saying, you've got to do your own growing, no matter how tall your grandfather was. Why I put that together with this is because it's personal responsibility. So you've got to sow your own seeds. What seeds of faith are you guys putting in the ground?
I would say right now, like the two maybe like spiritual disciplines that I'm trying to get in my bones
yeah.
are trusting in the Lord and being eager and excited to sacrifice. And those things I think I've just noticed are they do not come easy for me. So those are the two things that I'm really trying to be attuned to. I think if you look at my life from the outside and you're like, that lady trusts the Lord. And you'd be like, yeah, definitely. Goes to church and does all the right things, does all sure. the things that would lead you to think that. And I would definitely still identify with as a lady that trusts the Lord, but mm-hmm. Have definitely caught a lot of my thoughts maybe not aligning with that in terms of like being fearful or anxious or, you know, leaning on my own understanding or whatever it may be, have all been elements to me that just show where I'm not trusting in God. And I know in the next 6 months, I will be taking some big steps. And I just want to be ready to do that. So I'm just trying to work that muscle so it's a easy step for me.
You said something about sacrifice.
Sacrifice as well.
Okay.
Because I, you know, it's me and Noah. And I think that maybe as the world sees it, and so it sometimes infiltrates how I see it, is sometimes sacrifice can be perceived as just a burden. And everything that I feel like I'm doing right now is just preparing for that. So even like the first thing of just being like, my body will probably never be the same after this, you know,
sure.
and that's hard for me to be willing to do that for somebody that I don't know yet, but I'm starting to get to know, but will eventually like take a lot more fullness as far as like my whole day will be dictated by the needs of my family and sacrificing my job, my maybe going to the gym, maybe, I don't know, like just mm-hmm. All the desires that maybe I had for myself that day.
Yeah, so let's start with the growing a baby, that seed. So how's that going? Are you learning all the things mm-hmm. or are you just like need to know basis?
I think I'm more the, when I need to know that, I think, kind of just taking it as it comes.
Do you guys hope to have a big family, one step at a time?
I definitely hope to have more than one. And then from there, we'll just go one kid at a time, I think.
So how has your household been changing as you're pretty new, newly pregnant?
I definitely think a stronger desire to just be in the home, just wanting to have a space where I am for a long period of time. A lot of times I just feel like I'm running around. So
yeah.
Right now, kind of changed a few of our weekly rhythms because I'm just like on Saturdays, I just want to be, I mean, we'll still see people in the evenings and stuff, but...
Mm-hmm.
Wanting to just like really establish home as my home base and not my work or my friendships or other things like that, but instead my marriage and my home. So just being there. And yeah, I think in the first trimester, my capacities just were slightly altered for how much I could do. So that was definitely, I wouldn't say shocking, it was definitely expected, but different.
Yeah.
To already have stuff that I'm like, well, maybe next year we'll do that.
Yeah.
So.
What about leading a community group? You put that down as something you're sewing.
Yeah, that has been a new thing for us.
How did that come about?
Our group that Laura used to be in, I think it was just getting a little too big, maybe. we had like 45 people, including kids. And I think it was the direction Noah and I were always headed. And so, yeah, we planted out January. Oh my gosh,
really
it's already
recently,
almost
yeah.
April. Yeah, so we are definitely learning the new rhythms of that. And so, I mean, for me on the hospitality side, it really is, okay, well, what are we doing Wednesday night to prepare? Because I got to be at work all day right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to come home and be mostly ready to go on Thursday. And then also just like we've really reframed our calendar. So Noah and I do our calendar at the beginning of every month. And just to make sure that we're loving and serving the people that God has put in front of us in our group first. And then also Noah's just been helping me to make sure that there are pockets wherein I can be home, because I think that that's for me to prepare to be home. I just need to be home more. I don't know if that makes any sense, but I'm usually out at every opportunity.
So like hearing about something is one thing, but mm-hmm. understanding comes from doing and living it and like bearing the responsibility, kind of like the quote at the beginning. Doesn't matter what your grandfather did or your mom or your dad or mm-hmm. whatever. It's like, it's you guys. So how is God helping you in this new endeavor of yours, like leading others in the faith or however you see it? This is a new seed that you and Noah have to sow down. You can't rely on someone else to be doing the work,
mm-hmm.
like to take the responsibility.
Yes.
It's like hearing about how CG is run is one thing, but now you guys recently have to bear the weight of it yourself.
Yes. Yeah, that was definitely a big shift that I noticed pretty immediately.
Yeah.
As far as the Rollins used to lead it at our house. And when you have a pastor leading your group, the burden is light, extremely light. Naturally, people will turn to them for guidance and counsel. And you also just don't have to have so much. I don't know. There's just not as much pressure even for discussion. You just feel well taken care of and don't really have to put too much of your own efforts into it. So that was definitely a big change and shift once again and weight that I feel like Noah and I felt pretty immediately.
How is God helping you guys in this new like responsibility?
Yeah. He's definitely just, for a long time been instilling the desire, which has been helpful to just fuel the steps that we're taking. But yeah, I think honestly, it's just like the endurance and endurance and perseverance that the Lord supplies so that we don't have to run on our own fumes or week after week do the same thing all over again or, you know, all these types of things. So that is something that we constantly have to lean on the Lord for, especially because now it's not somebody else showing up to our house and doing the whole thing. And I think he's definitely just been with us through building the new routines and the habits. And
I think that leads perfectly into mm-hmm. the third thing that you wrote in this section,
mm-hmm.
which was that you guys are redeveloping new rhythms. And then you wrote, but a lot of doors are actually closing right now to make ways for the new paths. It's like God's telling you, these are the seeds I want you to be planting in a way. Would you say it like that?
Yes, definitely. Probably the biggest one. And it's just as the demands in your life change, you have to be like, okay, well, God has given us this group and these people to steward and look after and care for and love on. And making room for that honestly just means letting go of other things that we were once more attached to. I know for me, it's definitely been a change in how I spend my time and being more intentional about my time. If you're close to me, you know, sometimes my hangouts can look like an 8-hour chatting session on my couch or at your house or, you know, whatever. And well, I love that. Of course, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm learning to just be that I'm like, well, you can actually get a lot done in or a lot said and a lot covered in 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
and then make it home in time to make sure that Noah is fed and not, you know, eating cereal for dinner, things like that. And so that honestly, like I said, like God has just been really gracious and making this a pretty gentle process, because that would have been something that would have been very challenging for me if it were up to me to make that change. But God is now just with this new group. I'm just like, I don't know. He's really helped us step to the occasion and being willing to see the seriousness and the value that comes along with leading the community. So we've just been kind of just making changes to make sure that we're complementing that and not running ourselves to the ground and being exhausted.
Well, it seems like that God, if, as I'm listening to you, is just providing you with discernment and wisdom to know where to go and where to step and, where to put your energy in for a future hope, even if you don't fully know. But at the same time, he's still giving you a sense of where you guys are headed.
No, yeah, definitely.
So you're not frantically adjusting as you go, but it sounds like you're preparing ahead of time, which is something that even as I read through your notes for the entire podcast, it seems like it's just going to be a theme that comes up again, is that God, pointing you guys ahead, which I think is going to be cool to see as we keep moving, keep moving forward. So next up, if you're ready, is the watering part, which as the Irish say, talk doesn't wear the clothes. In other words, talk doesn't get the work done. So you have been doing more than talking. Your garden has shown evidence of your attentive care in a bunch of ways. And what are some that you have to share? The first one was Maymont.
I'm going to be...
Or in spite of Maymont, I guess. You've been doing something.
So knowing that I'm going to be leaving Maymont, which is how I spend 40 hours of my week currently, Noah has been helping me to really invest in all the things that are going to be around when Maymont is not, so that I don't feel empty. So obviously, just being in the Word and spending time with the Lord and making sure to be going to Him daily for bread and not to work for, you know, like good jobs and you're the best type of like fulfillment or whatever, but to be just like overall getting my fulfillment and worth and value from the Lord and who He says that I already am, not who He says I'm not going to be when I leave my job or things like that. And a lot of that is also like just with the ladies in our church, like drawing near to them, knowing that that is going to be my, outside of my family unit, my core of stability and foundation.
So how are you able to do that? 40 hours, break that down. Is it you just pray for them or you text them or you actually hang out?
Yeah, texting is definitely something that I do not shy away from, as far as just like keeping in step with people. My hope is that when I come home, it's just kind of like, okay, and now I can just keep doing these things and I'm up to speed and all the things. I don't know. So knowing what the ladies in our CG are doing currently and knowing how I can pray for them and knowing how God's working in their life and just being, knowing what they're doing the next day, honestly, or knowing what they're doing that weekend, just so I can feel in the fold of all the things that are happening. But a lot of it is just like also small rhythms, like you, me and Christina and Stephanie walk on Mondays and that won't stop. And on Tuesdays, you know, well, Mondays we have like our rest night. And so just that's not going to change and that will be the same. I think a lot of it is also just, balancing out the calendar and investing in those friendships that will still be there. And honestly, a lot of praying for God to make that a desire of mine, because I wouldn't say that that's a natural posture of my heart to leave work.
There is something you wrote next that I wasn't quite sure what you meant. So you wrote, lay a foundation that won't crumble when I leave my job. What does that mean?
That just means that when I leave my job, I might feel like a shell of a human.
Okay. So you won't crumble. Okay.
Just without a lot of what I do at my job is talking all day, making goals and achieving goals and seeing things happen. Events being built up in a day and taken down that night. And it's just very fast paced. And so I don't want when I come home for me to have leaned on that too much for a sense of fulfillment, that my day might be going for a walk with the baby, breakfast, nap, playing, and prepping dinner for Noah and for the baby and then going to bed, you know. Yeah. I don't want that to I want that to be just as valuable, if not more valuable.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's just like the fast-paced nature of my job is everything's probably just going to slow down a lot. And the talking piece, I think I'm just trying to prepare myself for a season where there might not be someone talking back to me all day, and that will be something I've never experienced in my life. I talk all day at my job and probably talked all the way up until my life.
Hey, with your luck, your baby will talk at 9 months. I have no idea.
Yeah. So.
Or whatever. Wow, I'm so out of it. I don't even know when babies talk anymore.
Me either.
Yeah. We'll find out together.
Yeah,
you
we'll
tell me.
I'll remind you when that starts to happen.
So we'll come back to where you'll be the neighbor knocking in the
window.
What are you guys doing?
I mean, that I wouldn't be surprised. That sounds exactly like me.
We'll be ready.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So you also said in your notes that ways to do that is you kind of already talked about it, but you're making a choice to invest in certain kinds of friendships.
Oh, yes.
Now.
Yeah. I would say like if you looked at all my hangouts on like a pie chart, maybe 85% of them is with single girls, which usually leaves Noah stranded. Or people from my high school. I have a lot of friends from high school that I just see pretty regularly. Is like, and that's a huge, I don't want to say time suck. I love those friends. But like I said, you can still have close friendships without spending a day, like an entire day with somebody. I mean, I think that's just the culture of like young people, maybe outside the church. So I'm really trying to discipline myself to one, spending more time with couples and families, because that is what is going to encourage Noah as he's in this season. And that's where we're going to get guidance and be with other people that are like us going through the same thing, and where we will all be able to be together. What I don't want is me on a Saturday going to see a random friend for 8 hours and taking the baby with me. And that's the only day Noah gets a full day with our baby. You know, I want to make sure that we're thinking as a family and preparing our schedules as a family.
Sure.
So that has been like a strategy switch.
Yeah.
And then also just being more intentional, like before I go to hang out with somebody, if I do know I only have a limited amount of time, not waiting until the very end to like bring up some of the things that we really wanted to talk through. And then I'm also a little bit crazy where I take notes after I see somebody so I can remember what they talked about. So then I can bring those up the next time and get, you
where
know.
Where do you keep these?
Just on my phone.
Okay.
Like nice. If someone was like, oh, like I'm going to see him, like, I'll use Elena for an example. Or Noah's parents, like they're maybe going to visit my granny and the end of May, let's say. I will write that down so I know that the next time I see them, it's in June. Hey, how was it? You know, I just can't remember all the things. So just being more intentional, not like dragging out a hangout for longer than it needs to be. And it just could have been condensed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that something new or something you've been practicing for a little bit?
That's new. Probably within like the last like 2 months, I would say.
Do you have any friends with hurt feelings or how's it going?
It's going good. I think everybody generally is understanding because they know that I'm pregnant, and most people I just honestly tell. I'm just pretty open with my friends, and I found it helpful to say like I'm free from 9 to 12. And even though if I'm free the entire day, that helps me to just be accountable to that time frame, and then also to plan stuff that's at my house if that is the case that I'm not leaving Noah.
Yeah.
Because my instinct is like, let's go to a coffee shop and then go walk, you know, at the river. And I'm like, well, that might not be something that you're going to want to do with a newborn. So start like just framing things around our house or things like that.
You have even more in this category. Sounds like God has you really active tending and stewarding and praying and all the things. So you put some money, something about money in here.
Oh, yeah. Also just being smarter with money. I mean, that's always something Noah and I have tried to like steward well. But
do you guys get help with that?
Yeah,
we just are good budgeters on your own.
I would say we look to Noah's parents a lot for strategy and how to budget, and but now we mostly do it on our own for like the day-to-day. And so yeah, I would say probably sounds silly, but like a huge temptation of mine is like, well, let me go shopping, let me go buy a new shirt, you know, let me go like pay for this experience or, you know, whatever it is around town that's happening. And I know that our income will change when I stay home, and I want to be content with the things that I have, and not, I don't want to cost, I probably wrote this down, but I don't want to cost $25 a day to stay home. So yeah, just learning like where the good deals are and how to stretch the resources that you have.
Sure.
Even this is so small, but just an example of it is like if I'm making a recipe and I forgot an ingredient, mm-hmm. I'm like, Noah, you need to go to the store. I don't know how we're going to make this recipe without this ingredient. And Noah's like, okay, slow down. Is there not anything else that we could possibly use as a substitute? And usually we can figure out something that would kind of work. So just being more thoughtful with our resources and not new, mm-hmm. need. I don't know.
I feel that so much.
So
it is nitty gritty, but at the same time, it still matters. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you wanted to say in this category? You brought up trust in the sewing part, mm-hmm. but can we just bring it back down to here? Because it is something that it mm-hmm. sounds like that you're being paying a lot of attention to. Mm-hmm. And I just love that before you were talking about building your trust in the Lord. And so I wanted to ask you this. If you're not building your trust, where are you tempted to trust? Like, what does that look like? What might you be tempted to do?
I will literally just run on fear. Yeah. And I will brace myself for that and not, I'll brace myself for worst of the worst or
yeah.
Brace myself with, let's say if I, a year ago, coming home would have been an entirely different story. And it probably would have, instead of trusting that God has been nothing but good to me and that children are one of the biggest gifts that we get to experience, if I weren't to be trusting those things, I would have just been bitter that I had to sacrifice my job and I had to change everything about my life to raise a baby. And yeah, so it'd have been a lot of fear, probably a lot of bitterness towards God, rather than just looking around me and being like, oh, okay, like this is actually really good.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It reminds me of even this sermon this morning, Pastor Doug was talking about the flood, but also building your life on the rock.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that literally, building your life does happen bit by bit. It's not necessarily, it's like relational
mm-hmm.
in the true sense of the word. You want it to be mm-hmm. solid. And that's what Christ invites us to do. He doesn't yeah. say like, snap your fingers to total trust in me. He says, build your life, you know, on me.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, as you're doing, as I'm listening to what you're saying, it sounds like you and Noah are turning and saying, okay, Lord, what are the bricks that will build our life on you? And it sounds like you guys are reorienting and making changes and making shifts mm-hmm. that are scary, even thinking about who influences you
yes.
as a whole, things like yes. that, because nothing is neutral
mm-hmm.
and you want your bricks to be solid, you know?
So, I had yeah. that a while ago with probably last year where I was jarred with who I would have classified as my role models.
Okay.
And that, I mean, that's a little bit of a side story, but that is something that I'm like so grateful for that has definitely changed a lot. And in a very encouraging way, because I felt, you know, when I truly thought about it, I was like, whoa.
Asked yourself that question?
Mm-hmm. Who are my role models?
Okay.
And, like, who am I, not necessarily my role models, but who am I taking influence from? And they were not women that I wanted to be like.
Yeah, wow.
And so I had to, like, train my mind to look at the women around me that I did want to be like and did want and that were trusting the Lord and walking with him and being obedient. I had to train myself to look at them differently because I realized my lens was foggy and that I was looking at something that would have not been good for my family. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll just use a random example, not necessarily a true one, but train my eyes to look at Stephanie Roland and mm-hmm. like just be like, wowed by her, like allowing myself to truly be wowed by everything that she does for her family and everything that she sacrifices and everything, the joy, how much joy she finds
yeah.
in all the things and how much and the closeness that she had with the Lord. And I would just train my mind to be like, that
mm-hmm.
is the voice of influence that you need to listen to. So then every time I talk to Stephanie, I'm on the edge of my seat. And, you know, so that, like I said, not necessarily a specific example, but just to give context.
What a posture.
Yeah. Because beforehand, I might have been like, like, I'll never be like Stephanie. I'm just using Stephanie because she listens to this. She'll
hi, Steph.
Yeah, she's super sweet and knows me well. But I would have been like, I could never be like her. And I need to, like, I don't know. Like, I just wouldn't have saw myself in her or seen that that could be steps that I could take. So,
well, any good ultimately in her is Christ. So
yes.
That makes sense.
Exactly.
That you would be pulled towards it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect. Segue, Peyton, into training and pruning. Mm-hmm. Well done. All right. So the Irish saying is, there's nothing so bad that it couldn't be worse. But of course, it doesn't always feel that way. So what in your life doesn't feel too good right now, but is good?
I mean, a lot of what we just talked about doesn't necessarily feel good.
Yeah.
I know that on my last day of work, I will cry like a baby, and all my coworkers will be like, girl, if you're so upset, then don't leave. And I'll be like, well, it's not like that, you know. So I know that that will be really hard. And it is a season of life that I've really treasured. And it was definitely a gift. And yeah, and that I know that that will be the step necessary to coming home. But yeah, I think also just preparing for motherhood and all that comes with that is, wouldn't say that it's hard or painful, but I think, like, the differences that are about to come will be night and day. It'll be crazy for me. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm one of my big things that I'm nervous about is not having anybody to talk back to me during the day, and just being nervous. It'll be the longest amounts of time and chunks of time that I've spent in a home. And so I worry about, you know, not being content or getting stir crazy or, you know, all these kinds of things, which, you know, I can put to death pretty quickly. But yeah,
it's funny thinking, how can you train for something that hasn't happened yet? Yeah. So I'm sitting here thinking as you're talking, and I'm like, well, maybe what you already said is checking your heart, like, do I believe God is good?
Mm-hmm.
Like the things that are gonna count and help you when the times get tough. So checking, do you believe in the goodness of God and his promises and faithfulness, and praying with Noah? And I guess those are the ways probably that you're getting ready for that.
Definitely.
Something else that's kind of funny is how something so natural can be so nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
Like, we all got here because we have mom.
Yes.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Don't get me wrong. I'm so excited. I'm truly super excited. It's just, I've never done it before. I really don't know. So that's why I'm just trying to have open arms and take each day and, preparing myself for maybe a lifestyle that's more mundane than what I live right now.
Yeah.
And less flashy.
Yeah, sure.
Especially my occupation is very flashy. Flowers and, you know, drapery and lights and big gestures of just all, and, you know, mine will probably be
golf carts
and flowers and, you know, gardens and
yeah.
I think that'll be hard to leave because it's easy to be drawn or have that be an appeal. So, but in a way, I am really excited for the efforts of my investments, even if just cooking, cleaning, laundry, repeat, you know, or, you know, and feeding and napping and all of that, that all of my efforts will be tending to the soul of me and Noah and our, you know, our baby. And right now it can feel like I go to work and it's like a little side mission. It's 40 hours of my life that I'm like spending so much investments of my energy and my thoughts and my cares and my worries and my whatever, all those things towards, I wouldn't say something that's not going to last, but definitely something that's ending for me. And it's a lot of investments. And so I'm like, I know that I'm a hard worker, and I know that, like, you know, that when I come home, those, all of those things will then be transferred to ways that I can bless my family, and I won't be exhausted when I get home. And so I'm too tired to cook. I mean, I'm sure there'll be days where I'm too tired to cook, but I don't know how else to say it besides I'm so excited to be concerned with the affairs of my family and not the affairs of
I get
people
it.
People I'll never see again.
I get it. It's good to be busy and interested in many things. It sounds like Noah's taking steps to help you to do that, so that every moment doesn't hang on, like, what's my daughter going to do now? Or, you know, it's wise to build rhythms. Like, it sounds like you and Noah are already doing. So I thought maybe it'd be fun to just take a second and think about some things that even just might be helpful. I was thinking about the old days. Wasn't there like rhythms of like, this is wash day, this is iron day? I mean, come on, who has an iron day? Ironing day. Or even when we were reading Little Women, Ava and I, they had a whole day where they would go visiting. And I was just oh, that's so interesting. Like, this is our visiting day. So I'm like, okay, what would it be for our day? I don't know. Even just like having a rhythm you look forward to, like maybe this is the day where I pray for people, or this is the day where I visit people. This is the day where people visit me.
Yes.
This is my clean day.
Yeah.
This is my chip away at a project day. And just maybe, I'm not saying like plan every second of your life, but like buckets, I can imagine would help.
Yes.
Things like that. Or this is my letter writing encouragement text friends day.
All of those things.
Whatever it could be. So that not everything gets like clumped all into a big, I don't know, clump.
That is something Noah and I have talked about, and I think that he will help me. But I will, just because it's how I've lived my life up until now, is that I will probably have to make myself somewhat of a schedule.
Yeah.
Of what, whether it's pockets of efforts towards our home or, you know, towards our community or whatnot, like having some rhythms. And those, I think those are all desires in my hearts now that sometimes I can get frustrated with, that I'm like, I don't have enough time to do this.
Yeah.
And how much time is about to open up that I will be able to step into those things is very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So like the concept of like meal prepping, I'm like, I don't know. Like that will be something that I will be free to do, or gardening, or, you know, whatever. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you want to get into why you're not quitting right now at Maymont and how you see this time as training? Because you could come home now, essentially, right? But you've decided to stay.
Yes. No, and I've talked about this a lot, like when is, and I still don't know when I will come home. Probably a little bit before the baby gets here. But yeah, I've had some increasing trials and challenges at my job that I don't want to run away from, and that I have noticed, because I've been so attentive to try and be obedient in these areas, and I wouldn't say failing, but challenged. And yeah, I don't want to run away from them, and I just want to face them. And it's also like, I don't know, when I worked at Panera, there's a huge revival at the end. And I'm like, well, maybe that's what God has now. There's been a lot more when you know that you're going to leave, the stakes and investments lighten, and so you can take more risks in talking about your faith. So I know that there's still work to be done, and people to invite into God's kingdom, or, you know, things like that that haven't been done yet. And so in my brain, I'm like, okay, I want to share the gospel with Katie before I leave. And if that hasn't happened, like, I will make it happen before, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think that working has been, it definitely challenges my trust a lot. I'm still there, and so it doesn't quite make sense, I don't think, for, I think I might be a little bored if I came home right now, but probably not, I don't know. So yeah, I'm just gonna try to bloom while I'm there. While that's there, it's also a season that I know is coming to an end, so I know, just kind of be grateful, make another paycheck for our family, because it's not coming after that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, specifically at work, I've just been challenged when faced with a trial or a decision or whatever, that I have a bad habit of paneling people. And yeah, I really want to work on bringing my concerns before the Lord and then to my husband.
Is this something you're in training for?
I mean, I don't know what it's training me for. I just know that that is something that the Lord is working on me, that I've been noticing a lot, that I tend to expose and make my family vulnerable by what I tend to share at work that has nothing to do with them, or, you know, maybe exposes me to ungodly influence. So,
is there any scripture here that you think about? You wrote training your tongue.
Training my tongue. I mean, definitely James. I don't know the exact scriptures, but sharp as a knife. And
So do you think the training for you is learning to be quiet, or
yes,
speak about different things, or
both?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the training is not being the center of attention, and not needing attention for what's going on in my life. And then also being mindful of what flows out of me. Mm-hmm. And that is sometimes jarring. I'm like, oh my gosh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a snapshot there of the posture of my heart, or, you know, what I'm turning to right now. So definitely convicting.
Let's move into weeding.
Mm-hmm.
So the Irish say, dress a goat in silk and he still remains a goat. Hiding our sinfulness is a huge temptation, I think. And mm-hmm. I don't know. So I wanted to thank you and all the ladies who've come on the podcast, standing in the freedom bought by the blood of Christ, mm-hmm. and are willing to share maybe what they might be tempted to hide, which is in this weeding section. So if you're willing, yeah. What do you have to share here?
Yeah, I feel like I already kind of alluded to it, but definitely selfishness and pride are my big pillars that I'm constantly struggling with. But yeah, all my life just been kind of, I don't want to say I've always been in the center of attention, but I feel like I've always had like a spotlight mm-hmm. on me, and I have occupied that spotlight instead of pointing it to Christ.
Yeah.
Or redirecting it, even in like conversation when you know, something, you know, where the like dominating a conversation about myself or, you know, something like that, and not giving another sister the opportunity to blossom, and just kind of taking over. I don't know.
Yeah. How have you been convicted of this?
I don't know. I think it just maybe like I hear my voice a lot, and I have a lot of very humble sisters to look to, and I'm like, whoa, I know how I feel when I'm around them, and it's cared for and heard and pursued.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I can catch myself when somebody else is talking, only thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
And that just shows that I'm not listening to them. And I'm more concerned with when will the attention be back on me and for my glory, you know, mm-hmm. or for whatever. So, yeah, I think that posture, and then ultimately, like, training that to turn back to the Lord. Like I said, sometimes I feel like I can try to attract glory onto yeah. myself, and or attract praise, or attract, I don't know, attention,
yeah.
and
yeah.
Not spotlight the God who gave everything to me. And
it's yeah. easy to feel that way, because if you take the more humble posture and don't put yourself at the center, mm-hmm. Christ says, I've made like the meaning for you,
yes.
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to make your own, bring about your own significance. It's kind of how I'm starting to process what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's like kind of the, you know, with coming home, it can feel like, I don't want that to be crushing when mm-hmm. I get home and I don't have those things.
Yeah.
I want my purpose to be found in the Lord and who he says that I am, not who I've, you know,
yeah.
spotlighted myself to be, because all of that is about to, the light's about to go out.
Yeah.
I'm not going to have an audience sitting around my desk, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know. Like, I'm just saying at work, people.
You can get some stuffies.
Yeah. 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 So.
That'd be funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've felt this way ever, or maybe you will feel this way because you're going to enter into it. But I feel like when something you're used to your whole life, like you mm-hmm. said, you're used to maybe drawing or trying to get attention, is like you send it packing because the Lord says this yeah. is time to go packing. I don't know. You can feel naked. You could feel strange, or you could feel just really emotional. Mm-hmm. I've definitely had that
yes.
in my life. And I'm like, what's happening to me? Like, mm-hmm. and it's because you sent something packing that you're used to wearing
mm-hmm.
or, and now like we get to run to the light instead of being burdened down, like the light, I mean, light as in weight,
mm-hmm.
the lightness of God's, like his promises and the assurance of Christ's death and burial and resurrection for us and the Father's love and all of that stuff. And so, yeah, it might feel emotional to get used to like the new thing, but it's almost like you've had a weighted blanket on mm-hmm. that you've like taken off and you just feel like, oh, I don't know what to
yes.
do now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I've had that for sure. our scripture for this semester is learning all of Psalm 103, and we're just taking it super slow. And there's the part we just learned is the middle, and we have like hand motions. It's like, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And just like scriptures like that, I think are going to become like more meaningful to you. Like they're actually going to be your source.
Yes.
For the words that you're looking for.
A lot of these concerns are probably just attacks from the enemy. Not even nearly.
Yeah.
True.
That's so true. Yeah. A lot of times, yeah, Satan will use some, like the suggestion of something that's not actually going to happen just to like keep you scared.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. Go away, Satan.
I know. I know, because I'm like.
In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. And then if you want to share the other thing you wrote in this section.
Yeah, I think just wanting to be more content with, I don't know, I guess just basically God is my source of substance and my source of belonging and source of value, and just that being enough, Jesus being enough, and not having to feel like being a stay-at-home mom is not enough.
Yeah.
I need to do something more important, or, you know, whatever the lies of the enemy are going to say to you.
I feel like you've hit the nail on the head. Do you think this is specific to you, or that it is actually what it means to be human?
Probably a little bit of both.
Contentment piece. What God is shaping you towards is not something anti-human. It's more like you were made to be.
Yeah.
And I think we were made to be satisfied.
Yeah.
And at rest.
Yes.
So the good news is, even though it's being pulled out of you, like the, I don't know, the desires towards yourself, or however you want to phrase it, the good news is like you're becoming more of who you're made to be.
Yeah.
Which is a restful, peaceful woman.
Yes. And the I've always thought this about myself, but the distractions of the world and the culture, for some reason I have an attentive ear towards and can be easily, I don't want to say easily swayed or whatnot, but I do think that stepping out of those spheres, there will be a lot of rest and ease, because you're right, it's not sustaining to rely on the praise of others or all those things that I feel like are so easy to cling to right now, because it's 40 hours of my life, and a good job sometimes goes so farther than it needs to, or whatnot. But like you mentioned, and like we've kind of said, but yeah, those you don't even need any of that. I don't know. And so it'll be really exciting to have a full lean on the Lord with those kind of pillars coming down and being like gone. So not that I don't already lean on the Lord now, but it'll just be a different fullness and a different reliance that I probably would be hard for me to grasp right now.
Yeah, that security, that building your life on the Lord and his truth and promises, like, really will last. This morning, I don't know why, but something popped in my head that's super dumb, but I was like, oh, maybe I could say this on the podcast. Maybe it will fit in somewhere. And I think it fits in here. Is for some reason, the word phony popped in my head, but I was thinking, hey, telephone, phone, that means sound. I've been just thinking a lot more about what words mean, especially because I've been learning Latin with the kids. And so a phony thing is a thing that just like makes noise. It's just a sound that comes out of your mouth, but there's like no substance there. And in a way, like living for the praise of man is like phony. It's just all sound. You know, it's not necessarily, it'll wash away at the end of the day.
Yeah. I sometimes think of it as like static. Like it's just like filling. It's just filler.
Yeah.
So like you gotta, at least with my, sometimes I think about all the words I said in the day. And I'm like, oh my goodness. How much of that was just static and how much of that actually rang true and was true and was glorifying to the Lord and produce fruit. And I'm like, okay, maybe like two sentences, you know? So.
What you did you say last year about asking who influences you? That sounds like a big deal. Even just asking yourself like hard questions, like what am I made of? Do I stand on the promises of God? Like who's influencing me? It sounds like it probably had like a lasting impact in your life to to look at yourself with that hard question?
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
It was heartbreaking. I don't think that I would have, like, I think that I had to take that look to realize the truth of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. All right. Do you want to move in your harvest?
Sure.
Okay, let me say the quote.
Okay.
May you never forget what is worth remembering and not ever remember what is best forgotten. Mm. So what should we always remember? Because God wants us to remember his goodness.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try not to cry, so I might have to talk slow. Well, one is, the two things I'll point out are just becoming CG leaders and starting a family. Those have been things that Noah and I have taken small steps towards for the last 5 years since we've been together. And I'm just blown away by how much God has changed my heart and changed my circumstances. I had a moment the other day when I was like cooking for CG before people came over, and I was like, it just struck me, and I started crying. I cry a lot. And I was like, I am so grateful that I'm here doing this right now. Like, I just know that I've desired to pour into people and to lead beside Noah for so many years, but haven't always had the, I don't want to say had the means or had the circumstances or whatnot, but my first snippet of like leading something was in a student ministry in my sophomore year of college, when I was probably only been a Christian for 2 months and hosted in my apartment, and my roommates were gay, and I had all these girls come over and was trying to teach them, but didn't really know anything about God. So I was just trying to like do the best that I could, and I wanted to cook for them, but I just chopped up apples because I that was all that I had, you know. And just to look and being like, wow, God has given me a husband to lighten the burden of leading, who truly loves the Lord with everything in him, and seeks him daily for our family and for our friends, and a home to host, and just I've learned to cook and now have more means to like feed it. I think it was a night where I was like doing a bulk of the cooking, and I was like, wow, like this is amazing. That I don't know.
You make a pretty good chili.
Oh, thank you. But I was just so grateful that had just been watered and now was here. And I was like, I can't believe this is our group now. And I'm not making stuff up about Jesus. And I don't know. Like, it just had all the, I don't know, just everything kind of came to, and I was like just blown away because it was a long process. And definitely moments where I was like, I can't do that, or, you know.
Do you feel like the kid with the lunchbox that Jesus fed the multitudes with? Like, here, this is all I got.
Yes. I mean, some days definitely. Yeah. Or I definitely did feel like that. So.
And you saw him do it, though.
Yeah.
That's what you're testifying to.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I've seen him do it. So that also, like, makes leading not stressful. Because I'm like, wow, we've done this before with animal crackers. We'll be fine.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
So, and then also, there's a lot of victory for me in leaving my job and starting a family. Mm-hmm. I think Noah and I have really walked this out slowly, at least for our pace, it's felt slow. I knew when we got married that I wanted a family, but don't think I wasn't equipped to like pull the trigger or start that. Or I remember just feeling so stressed about starting a family because it meant that I would have to figure out what I was going to have to do about my job. And I didn't want to leave my job. So if I was going to have to leave my job, then I didn't want to start a family, and all these like just fluff and being scared or not feeling like I was maternal or nurturing or those types of things enough so to step into motherhood or all of that. And God has just been so, he's just gentle with me. Maybe it's because I'm so sensitive and it doesn't take much to like train my eyes or move my heart in a new direction. But he's just been very gentle that each step has just felt so exciting and so, I wouldn't say easy, but unexpected, maybe. Like finding out that we're having a girl, I cried for 3 days. Mm. And I did not expect that of myself. I thought that I wouldn't become attached to my baby until they could talk.
Yeah.
And now I feel so attached. And I'm like, thank you, Lord. Like, oh my gosh, you are so good. Like that I'm able to feel this connection and be excited about the baby being here and not dreading it. Like, for so long, I thought it would be something that I would dread.
Yeah.
For so long, I thought it would be like me and Noah fighting tooth or nail to like get off of birth control or and like all that kind of stuff. And that just seemed like the easiest step in the world. And I remember praising God, being like, Noah, that was so easy. You have no idea. I didn't even cry. Like, not because it, you know, I just didn't even cry. Like, because I would have, I don't know, like been scared or whatnot. But everything has just been pointing to just how good God is and how good all of these things are that I didn't necessarily always think or trust was the case. But so far, everything about starting a family has been way more, or been like way more into it, I guess, than I ever thought that I ever would be, which has just made like leaving my job 10 times easier, which Noah always told me. He was like, don't start thinking about leaving your job until we have a baby. Like,
yeah.
Because you don't know. You don't know. Or don't think about how you're going to school your kid until you actually have a kid here. Like,
yeah.
You don't want to, if you're going too far down the rabbit hole, of course it's going to feel unnatural to choose how you want to school the child that you haven't even conceived. And so Noah's been really encouraging to just take small steps, and knowing that every time we take a step of faith, God will meet us there and provide the decision or provide the discernment for what to do and the joy and all of that. And so that's just been amazing. It comes so unexpected.
Yeah.
Very unexpected.
The way that you put it in your notes to me really captured my imagination, because you picked, of all the words, you picked victory. And that to me implies that there is a battle going on.
Yeah.
And so it captured my imagination, because first of all, you wrote, never would I have thought I would say I was excited to leave my job and have a baby. And I just thought, okay, so I'm imagining what you're saying. Like, we think we know ourselves, but it's actually like God that searches us, who really knows us.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you wrote, I never thought, just made me think about how like modern man thinks that our minds are the pinnacle of like knowledge. Like whatever we think in our mind is the highest thing, but it's actually like our desires that rule us.
Mm-hmm.
And so the battle was really for your love. And I just, my imagination, when you wrote, it's a victory. I was like, there's a battle for what your desire, for what you love, and God won. And it was just super cool the way you wrote it. And just really loved it, Peyton.
That's touching. I'm going to cry.
And so, there's a literal battle.
That is what it was.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I feel whenever we have like a victory, I always imagine like, you know, Jesus is on the war. So there's no way that Satan could topple him. But I always still like to think of like a little tally. Like, like I, one more point for Christ.
Yes.
One more time that I like said no to the enemy and got to be in the victory of Christ, and not just like, or not play a part in it, but be amongst it.
Yeah,
be amongst the win, and not letting God win while I'm over here.
Like, I get it.
You know, in the turmoil, and it's just so exciting.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Praise the Lord for all of this. Peyton, how do you want to close out your podcast today? What did you bring to share?
Oh, I did bring something that I wrote.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I didn't actually write it. Is that what you're asking?
Oh, wait, you didn't write it?
Oh, I did write it.
Oh.
I didn't write all of it. So
okay.
There's other snippets in there.
Whatever you want to say. How do you want to close this out?
Okay. I did bring something to share. I was a little intimidated to just write something off the cuff. So I tried to write something that blended with scripture. So I had some guidance. And I was just reflecting on the themes that were coming up in my reflection that I did before coming onto the podcast, and Philippians 2:3 through maybe 11 really stood out to me. So I based my writing around that. So I'll read it now. Okay. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Lord, forgive me for my selfish posture, desires, and deeds. Put to death my vanity so that my nature can better reflect you. The word of God continues. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Father, help me to better see my position in which you've stationed me. lead me away from chasing myself and the riches of the world, but instead train my heart to be more concerned for your people. Help me to be generous with my home and my time so that I can eagerly invite others in to share your truth. Paul continues, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving your throne. Thank you for coming as a man and living a sinless life that none of us ever could. Let me not forget the weight of what you've done for your people. You died a sinless and undeserving death and gave up everything for us. I pray that I would see your glory when facing any upcoming discomfort that comes with sacrifice. Verse 9 continues, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under earth, and every tongue should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Amen. And now I will close us with an Irish blessing. May your neighbors respect you, troubles neglect you, angels protect you, and the heavens accept you.
Life is like a cup of tea. Enjoy it while it's hot, because before you know it, it's cold and you're left with soggy biscuits. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in a local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.